Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office.
So today we've got a very interesting question from a professional woman who recently changed jobs and finds that her new coworkers don't like her. Apparently, this person is very knowledgeable and has a knack for finding and correcting her coworkers' mistakes. We're going to get into that.
I have a feeling that skill, that finding and pointing out other people's errors, may not be adding to her popularity.
Yeah, exactly.
But we're so glad she sent her question to info@mycrazyoffice.co, and we hope you'll send yours too.
All right, let's go right to our question, Logan.
I work at a university in research administration. Due to my husband's job relocating, I recently changed positions from a top-tier university to a less prestigious university. In my current job, my managers seem supportive, but my coworkers do not like me. I try not to come across as I know more than you, but I do have to speak up when I hear or see them doing something that is not correct. Most people at the department level love me and appreciate my knowledge, but my close coworkers seem to think I'm out to get them and or their job. I've tried different approaches in my delivery, wording, etc., and they all come to me with questions about certain regulations, but they still turn me in at the first opportunity. For example, I recently forgot to take my sunglasses off of my head, not allowed here, on the way to walking to my desk. I feel like I'm in a viper pit, but the vipers are wearing bunny suits. Any suggestions?
That sentence, I try not to be, I know more than you.
Yeah.
Yeah, people feel that.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, somehow she got off on the wrong foot this job. And, you know, sometimes you come into a new job and you may know more than other people, but it's really a responsibility to sit back and, you know, find out what people know and what they don't know and just observe for a while before you are the smartest person in the room. Unless you were hired to be the smartest person in the room, but I don't get that.
Right.
And then, even then, when you realize, well, I know more than them, but I don't want to intimidate, you have to find out a way to get people to, you know, want to work with you.
Right.
I feel like she came in and did something really wrong.
You also never want to show everything that you can do all at once, right? I mean, I wouldn't.
Theoretically.
You gotta pull back a bit.
Right. Well, here's the thing. I think what's interesting is that sometimes someone like this who is very knowledgeable and coming into a new situation may be anxious to show their expertise. And so then inadvertently will offend others.
Right.
And usually this kind of person, you know, can't stand mistakes themselves. Like, they have very high standards of performance. But I agree, Kathy, that it's a big mistake to prove that you're the smartest person in the room.
Yeah, I mean,
early in the game.
If everybody doesn't like you, you did something wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You did something to offend.
Right.
Whether you intended to or not.
Right.
Right.
So I think what she has to do is step back and maybe take the one who she can is a little friendly with and maybe take him out to lunch and say, you know, how do I apologize? How do I get back on the right foot with everyone? Because I've clearly made a mistake. If she wants to stay at this job.
Right.
If her need, work
comfortably in this space.
Right. If you want to stay there. I mean, if your need to be the one that everybody looks up to and the smartest person in the room, this is not the place. They don't like that.
Yeah, the thing that caught my attention was that early statement of, I recently changed positions from a top-tier university to a less prestigious university.
Yeah, that tells you everything.
Yeah. Well, because while you may not realize it, your attitude that you're at a less prestigious university is also probably transmitted or transparent. People can see that and feel it. right? Mm-hmm. That then, and that somehow, even if you your words don't say it, you may have a kind of "I'm better than you." Not just "I know more than you," but "I've been to better places."
Mm. Yeah, you see, mm-hmm. I would be very careful with that, because prestigious sometimes, especially in the university world, they earn those reputations many, many years ago.
Yeah.
And there are less prestigious universities that are up and coming.
Yeah, that's true.
So why you know, even make that statement?
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
That shows that you're very judgmental. Uh-huh. About where you're working. And I find that that can be very offensive if I'm working there and I feel really good about it.
Right.
That's
right.
Offensive.
Yeah.
Right.
So somehow you have...
we need an attitude adjustment.
Yeah,
right.
I mean,
change perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a saying actually in the land of recovery that the best is to be a worker among workers. So you're not busy trying to show that you're the best, mm-hmm. and you're certainly not the worst, but you find out what the team consists of and how to be part of the team.
Right.
And I think that's what we're talking about.
I mean, I think this person really has to look at, do I have a need to be, really perceived as the most important person in the room? Do I have a need to be better than everybody else? Like, what's going on here? Uh-huh. Because whether or not, you know, you probably shouldn't have taken this job if you felt it was beneath you. Mm-hmm. So, but if you did take it, then you have to, you know, not be so judgmental about it.
Uh-huh. Right.
And realize they all have to get the work done. Everybody's got to get the same work done. And if you have a lot you can contribute, that's terrific.
Right.
But somehow it must be delivered in a judgmental way.
Yeah.
Right.
It's coming out that way unintentionally.
Well, that's what I was thinking is, I think that the probably part of it that you could ask this individual, your colleague, if you go to lunch with them, is, you know, if I see something's wrong, what's the best way to alert others of that?
Right.
So, because whatever you're doing isn't working the way you're doing it, how can they receive feedback?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you definitely have to get humbled here, mm-hmm. and figure out how to turn this around. I think it can be turned around, because mm-hmm. you know, people can forgive and forget.
Yeah.
But you would really have to change your attitude.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you may not want, I don't know whether she wants to do that or not.
Yeah. Right. I would also say that the fact that they are looking to catch you at things that you do wrong.
Oh, yeah. Well, that must... why do people do that?
Revenge.
Exactly.
She told me that my report was wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell the administration that her sunglasses are on her head or whatever
it is. People don't turn you in just because they like to turn people in. They have they're pissed off at you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't like you. You did something really wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
And based on the way you're saying it, we feel we know what it is, but it could be something else.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. And I think that's also part of it, is that you may, again, if you talk to one of your coworkers in trying to rebuild these bridges with them, is you can certainly make it clear, it's not my intention to make people look bad. It hasn't been my intention to make your work look less valuable. I didn't mean to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, show me.
I don't know. I think that might work. But if I was there, I would want to hear her say, "I'm so sorry.
Yes.
Yeah. I came in, you know, the last place I worked in, we had this attitude, we were the best, and I brought it here and I shouldn't have."
Uh-huh.
So I'm really sorry about that. I realize now that I brought some attitude in here that pissed everyone off and I didn't realize it, and I'm so sorry. I think I got to own it.
Uh-huh. Right, right.
And just say
start fresh.
That I wasn't aware.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they'll forgive you. They probably will.
Yeah.
But definitely. I don't know. Saying it's not my intention, first of all, I think that's overused.
Yes.
I mean, I know we recommend it in our books, and I think it's good. I know I do. I think it's good. And I say it a lot too, because it's true.
Yeah.
But I don't know at work. I think she has to really humble herself.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. So I don't mean to disagree with you.
No, it's fine. I mean, I don't think it's an either or. I think both things are possible. Like, mm-hmm. you could say, "I really didn't mean to offend you guys. Obviously, I have."
Mm-hmm.
Right. And you've still laid it all out, and then you still can find a way to find middle ground. Mm-hmm. The, it's not my intention thing is just to let you let others know that that's, you didn't come in swinging to make them feel bad.
Right. So. And what is this sunglass on the head thing? Have you ever heard of that?
No, but I'd be in a lot of trouble because I.
You have to get one. Like
I have my sunglasses on in the, when it's raining. Yeah.
They're a headband. Yeah. I mean, that's what they are. I don't understand. Well, of course, they're better on your head than somewhere else.
Yeah,
You're not going to lose them. I think that's a weird rule.
Well, maybe it's too casual a look or something for a university setting.
Right.
A research setting.
All right. Well, that's at least her problems. The fact that they are looking to get her in trouble, that's a big problem.
Yeah. It's because they feel that you've gotten them in trouble.
Yes.
So going with Kathy's original suggestion, which is to meet with individuals and to say you're sorry for having offended and having brought a certain attitude and to ask, how can we start again here?
Yeah, now you have to make that decision if you want to do that, because it's going to have to eat a little crow here. It's a little humbling that you're going to have to say, oh, I made a big mistake and I'm sorry. And then you got to carry it through.
Right. Like you're going to have to relinquish control.
Right.
That's the big thing here.
You can't come back and do it again.
No. Right. The thing that I find really interesting is that people who do this, who need to point out all the mistakes of others, they get very anxious if they think something's going to go through that has mistakes on it. Mm-hmm. So you almost have to convince yourself that my being right and my pointing this out is not a life or death situation here. And there's another way to let people know what I see without having everyone dislike me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard. I think it's very hard to relinquish that kind of control.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think people come into jobs that are very knowledgeable, and that's why they're hired. But they don't have everybody get angry at them. You know, yeah. I think there's a way to come in and say, oh, here's another way. And I've seen it happen. I've seen, people come in and have some really great ideas. Now, just because you've done it differently also doesn't mean it's going to work there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why you do have to lay back and really observe and really think through everything you're saying. And you may be more knowledgeable. You may not belong there.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And in that case, I'd look for another job.
Well, I was going to say, I think then we're talking about cultural fit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It may not be the right fit for you. Or it could be that if you're willing to learn what that culture is, then it could be interesting for you, but you'd have to be willing.
Yeah.
As opposed to seeing it as a less prestigious university, you'd have to say, oh, okay, so how do people do things here? How do we correct mistakes here? How does the team work here?
Right.
I mean, this may be a bad resume builder for you, this job. You know, Okay, so I think we got that. We're going to take a quick commercial break and come back and talk about this type of behavior. And in Mean Girls at Work, we call it doesn't know she's mean. Is that what we call it?
Yeah, doesn't know she's mean.
She doesn't know she's mean, which is this type of behavior. And it's true for men, too. I mean, you might, and I have this a little bit, but you may find it really interesting what this kind of behavior generates and where it comes from.
Yeah.
So right. See you soon.
Yeah, and tweet us your stories about this kind of coworker to SK2.
Ever feel like you or your company could use a 20-minute therapy session? Well, K-Squared has your back. Simply download a K-Talk, plug in those ear pods, or gather a group of your coworkers and feel better instantly. Well, almost. Each K-Talk covers a specific topic and costs a fraction of what a traditional therapy session would. Feeling stressed by your workload? There's a K-Talk for that. Working with someone who's done you wrong? There's a K-Talk for that. Can't ask for a raise, need a vacation, hate your boss? K-Talk, K-Talk, K-Talk. Just go to ksquaredenterprises.com and purchase the K-Talk that fits your situation. Now back to our show.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. We're going to pick up where we left off and talk about doesn't know she's mean, but Logan's got a message.
If you want to get on our email list, you can text us now at 22828 and type in my crazy office, all one word. That's 22828. And you can also follow us on Instagram on my crazy office as well.
Yeah, sign up. A lot of people are these days. A lot of people like this podcast. All right, so let's just talk about she doesn't know she's mean. And this, you know, I fall into this category a little bit.
I'll never say.
Yes, you will. Oh, go ahead.
Well, actually, I'm very fond of this particular kind of mean girl. So just for a quick review, since if not everyone who's listening has read Mean Girls at Work, that book is built on the premise that women compete with each other in a way that's different than the way men compete with each other and with other women. And what women do is they tend and befriend, so they try to make nice to each other, and then they compete often behind the scenes. And they also offend each other behind the scenes, which I think has happened for this woman. So the doesn't know she's mean person is not out to harm anyone. Their intentions, that overused word, are good. They're usually really strong, very ambitious and driven. And they express their opinions in ways that sometimes offend and occasionally infuriate others. Does that sound right?
Yeah.
I have a couple female friends like this.
Yeah. I mean, I think
we all do.
It's very female. Yeah. But I just want to say that if you haven't read Mean Girls at Work, it's really broken down into all these different categories. It's not just the women who are really just mean, just that's by nature, but we all women have the ability to be perceived as mean.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it is really unconscious.
Absolutely.
So this is one of those areas where she didn't mean it, but she actually is.
Right.
So I would pick up a copy. It's really it's really terrific.
Yeah.
All right. So I thought I'd bring up some of the ways. I mean, this woman is somebody who's really smart. She's really confident.
Yeah.
She's intelligent. She's very aggressive in her career. And basically, she just feels, you know, put on your big girl underpants, and I'm going to tell you the truth.
Yes.
Right.
You know, your gray roots are showing. You need to know that.
That color's horrible on you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a client who used to come in here, and she used to say to me, if you lose any more weight, your face is going to be really wrinkled. And
goodness.
You shouldn't wear that color. It just is not good for you.
So charming.
And I would always feel so put off, and then I realized, you know what, she's just saying what she thinks is the truth. And she doesn't mean
she thinks it's going to help you.
Right. She's helping.
That is the intent.
That's the key.
That's the motivator. That's true.
That's the key. They're helping.
Yeah.
And no, this is their truth, and they do see it as, you know, I've got a piece of information you need.
Yeah.
So here it is. You didn't ask for it.
That's right.
Here it is, because you need it.
And the ways that it may come, it could be someone who bosses you around.
Yeah.
Someone who offers unsolicited advice.
Oh, yeah.
So many people love that.
Yeah.
Someone who critiques your appearance. You talked about that.
Or your projects or your work.
Right. Uh-huh. And someone who does your work and then makes you look bad.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Someone who always has to be right, which I think is part of what's going on for the woman in the earlier segment. And I think there's someone who tells hurtful jokes, but they think they're funny.
Yeah.
But
there's always meanness in there.
There's a little bit of truth in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a certain friend like that. And
I know men like
that. What
do you mean? Huh?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure there are tons of men like that.
Yeah, I know a lot of men that tell jokes at your expense. And they're not funny. They're actually kind of mean.
Yeah.
And women do that, too.
So the great thing, though, about this personality is that they can take feedback, right, Kathy? Mm. They can receive feedback.
Yes, because, being one, we don't really think, you know, it's not about gotcha. It's not, that's not what's going on. It's just, we're just sort of telling the truth. Like, I don't mind if people tell me that kind of truth sometimes. It depends on how it's said.
Depends on the delivery.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It does depend on the delivery. It's true. And the time of day.
And who gives the...
Right.
Right. So, but I think what's true, just as you said, is that the person who doesn't mean to be mean or doesn't know they're mean, they actually think that they're as open to that criticism as the people they give it to. Mm-hmm. They think that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we all know we want to improve here. So here it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you let them know that was hurtful or that doesn't work for me, or that's not helping me, that's not helpful, then they can recalibrate sometimes, right?
Yeah, I see people recoil from me sometimes. And I think, God, other people pay money for this. Like, you really have a problem with that?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I have to be careful. I mean, my father used to always tell me, don't give advice unless somebody asks for it.
Right.
So the unsolicited advice, I think, is it's true. Don't give it. Just don't give it.
Mm-hmm.
you know, so you're having a whole conversation in your head of what you want to say, but it's right. probably best not to say it.
Well, if you're someone who is in this, who falls in this category, I think, again, the challenge is it's about the, you have a very strong desire to tell the truth and to be in control, to take charge of situations, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you can create a pause if you work at it. And one example, one thing that I will sometimes say, if I, someone is telling me a lot of their story and I have huge ideas of what I think they need to do immediately, I'll say, you know, I'm having a really strong reaction to what you're saying. I have a lot of ideas. What do you want from me in this? What do you want now? Mm. You know, what's going to be helpful?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that allows me to keep my mouth shut long enough to find out what kind of feedback they actually want.
Sure. Some people just want to vent.
Sometimes they
don't want to hear all the answers.
Right.
That's
right.
They
probably
true.
Know all the answers.
Right. Well, sometimes, like, Cliff and I have a deal that we're, as we get older, that we point out when things look really bad.
What are you talking like about? What? Like what?
That's funny.
Like if your nose hair is too long or your you really shouldn't wear that. It's not going to flatter you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a deal based on if you are not, if you, your perspective is not as clear as it used
so
to be.
Even, uh-huh. So how does that go over when it is, when it happens?
I don't know. I mean,
hasn't done it yet.
I haven't. Yeah. I think I've done it once or twice. I mean, I have a hard time doing that. But he's done it to me a couple of times. For me, I should say he's done it for me.
And how did it go over?
I just said, okay. I didn't like it at the moment. But
can you share what he told you? Not too personal.
I think it had to do with a specific dress or something that just he didn't find that flattering.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so, hey, if your spouse, if anybody's going to do it, right?
Yeah. And in my case as well, like, you know, if I... Kathy will often, thankfully, point out when I've stained things. I do that all the time. Mm-hmm. I need people in my life to draw that to my attention.
Yeah.
She'll also point out when I'm about to stain something. Like, you're going to spill that all over yourself. And it's correct.
Okay,
so I appreciate
it. I was in a meeting with a guy the other day who had his shirt tucked into his underwear. And I could actually see the underwear over his pants.
Yeah.
And I had to use every... I said nothing. But it was very out of... I was out of control wanting to point it out. Because somebody needs to tell him.
Right.
And now he has a wife. Hopefully she saw it. But,
yeah.
I mean, that's like something people do all the time, right?
Right.
Oh, sure.
Okay,
sure.
Bad. Really bad. But, you know, it's not my business.
Well,
I
it's similar to food in your teeth, right? If someone, you're talking to someone,
hard.
They've got food in their teeth, it's
right.
very hard to focus on anything.
I would want someone to tell me.
You would want someone to tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, it depends on the circumstance. Like if, you know, it depends. You might be with a client and that would sort of be out of place for them to say it. They would not say it.
Yeah.
So it depends on what you're, you know, what the situation is.
Right. The other day I saw a client and I had my sweater on backwards.
Oh my God. Inside out or backwards?
Inside out.
Oh,
you pointed it out to me after I came out of the session. You're like, wow.
Kathy was like, hey, what is...
Okay, there's the tag.
Going for a new look there?
So some of us need that kind of coaching.
Well, that is kind of innocent. I mean, that's really funny. That's not an invasion of somebody's privacy.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
all right. So
but anyway, these are grooming things.
These are grooming things. They're different from correcting your work or telling you that you don't speak very well.
To go back to the podcast, this particular first question, we obviously believe that's what she did.
Right.
Right.
She didn't mean to be mean.
That's
but
right.
she came off as mean because she's a bit controlling.
Right.
And she's smart and aggressive and driven.
That's right. Yeah.
And she came from an elite school. And so that's what happened.
Right.
Right. And I guess the thing I want to convey is for the people who for whom this is your tendency is to know that you may be inadvertently offending others.
Mm-hmm.
And if you sense that, you can always ask.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever done that?
I haven't. They don't always tell the truth.
Uh-huh.
Oh, really?
Yes.
But I bet they appreciate that you ask.
No, I don't think so. I don't. Some do. I think the ones who appreciate it are the ones who say, yes, I didn't really like that.
Yeah.
But I have met women in my life that I've never bonded with who I have said, you know, did something happen here? And they, oh, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I find that kind of maddening. You can't really connect with somebody like that.
So, exactly. So if you have someone who doesn't know their mean in your life, the best thing you can do is just tell them the truth. Bring that to their awareness, right? Mm-hmm. That's the best thing you can do if they're inadvertently offending you. And, but also know that the intention is not really a negative one. Because I think that's the problem, is that resentment can build if you think that someone assumes that they know better than you,
right.
Especially among women, because we like horizontal power structures, not vertical.
Yeah, we don't like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't do well with that kind of hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
That's why a lot of women don't move up the ladder. It's not about leaning in or any of that other garbage that's out there. It's about women don't like a hierarchy. We like a level playing field.
Right.
That's why women get out. Mm-hmm. They start their own businesses. They want more flexibility and they want flat organizations.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
So someone who doesn't know their mean is... by mistake, stepping up,
right,
creating
right.
a hierarchy
right.
that they don't really want.
Interesting.
Yeah, that is not won't be fixed unless you let them know what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's it. Join us next time for another My Crazy Office podcast. Tweet us your stories and advice about women who don't know their mean to AskK2. Follow us on Instagram, review us on iTunes, and don't forget, send your questions to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.